Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Thanks very much, Kim Gordon. Happy Monday. It is Monday afternoon. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. Steve Bertrand here. Thanks very much for joining us. A little bit later, we're going to talk about Air Force One. It's an HVAC company outside of Columbus, Ohio. Revenue was sagging. A new young CEO trying to figure out what to do. And what he did was eliminate the bonus system for the sales force. He got rid of it. And turns out things have been booming for them ever since. It was profiled by Susan Adams at Forbes.com. And Susan will be along a little bit later to talk about that. Right now, Frank Sennett from Crane Chicago Business is in the studio. Frank, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Steve.
One of the things I want to talk about, I am fascinated by the old main post office just south of the loop, right? As a kid, you know, your parents would be like, oh, here we go. We're going to drive under the building. And it just was the Chicago icon.
Absolutely.
It's been short of being used in a Batman movie, I guess, vacant for 20 years or so.
Yeah,
right?
It's crazy.
And there's now hope.
Right. So it's under contract now and with a player with a great track record in Chicago and elsewhere. Mark Karasik is the player who is looks like he's going to buy the old main post office building, also owns Aon Center, Prudential Plaza, Civic Opera Building, used to own 600 West Chicago, which was is Groupon's building.
Oh, okay.
So he's got a great track record here, but what he's trying to do is replicate some success that his company has had in Manhattan. In 1998, he bought a block-wide building, the Sterrett Lee Building, in Manhattan at 601 West 26th Street there on the island.
Yeah, I think it was like in the Chelsea neighborhood.
Exactly.
So on the fringe.
Yeah, and it was a 2.3 million square foot building. He completely rehabbed it and made it a modern, you know, office building, and now has leases with some of the best known brands in apparel and media. And he sold it in 2011 for $920 million, which was a 6x return on his investment.
Wow.
Initial acquisition cost. So he feels that he has experience with this kind of behemoth of a building, kind of on the fringe of the office area, and can build it so it's attractive to tech companies and other cutting-edge firms.
Well, so one of the things they say he will have to do is maybe create his own neighborhood, right?
Exactly. And, you know, they said the 600 West Chicago Avenue building was too far away for offices, and then of course that's become a very successful
right.
tech hub in addition to Groupon, and they bus employees back and forth like they do from Aon.
His timing's a little off because that would have been a great tech hub, you would think.
Absolutely.
Maybe they can do it again. Now, here's what I love about this story. The guy's 66 years old, this Karasik fellow, right? We don't know too much about him, right? Pretty mysterious guy.
Sure.
Or private anyway.
Yeah.
Notably low profile, the story says. The company's website says he's a graduate of Yeshiva University in New York and its Bernard Ravel Graduate School of Jewish Studies with a master's degree in history. And now he owns half the world. I love that.
Exactly. He became a real estate tycoon. So, you know, the path can be interesting.
Right. So if you're freaking out about your kid's path.
The liberal arts degree can pay off.
Sometimes history, you got to know where you've been. That's right, my friend Frank. Speaking of knowing where you've been, Ferrara Candy in Forest Park. Now, they sold off, right? They had a bit of internal strife, sold off a few years ago.
Yeah.
And there's a big infusion of cash now, and they're basically trying to fatten this company up so they can sell it, right?
Right. There's a private equity player that purchased the company, which is over 100 years old. It's another Chicago landmark. And the Oak Brook Terrace-based Ferrara Candy is now undergoing an extreme makeover. They are trying to target young millennials and Gen Z or whatever the young kids are being called these days with reboots and extensions of the famous brands that we know so well. So instead of just Lemonheads, it's Pink Lemonade Lemonheads and sizzling, sour, chewy Red Hots instead of just plain Red Hots. And they're also getting into the chewable vitamin business, which they think might be $100 million business soon.
Organic licorice?
Organic licorice.
What's that about, Frank? Come on.
An organic line of Black Forest gummies debuted late last year, and they may reach $50 million in sales with that this year. And the thing is, what's smart is that consumption of candy and sweet snacks over the past decade is down about 6%. However, the so-called quote-unquote better-for-you snacks have outperformed the overall market, so they're trying to really rebrand some of these lines as, hey, this isn't actually too bad for you. It might increase your energy, might help
it's
your
like,
health.
It's got
vitamins in it.
In Ireland, it's Guinness for strength, right? Guinness for health. So it'll be lemon heads.
Exactly.
And what I like is that they're really putting the money into it. So in marketing dollars, 2013, they spent $5 million. This year, they're going to spend $25 million to pump this company out.
Yeah, so they're actually putting a lot of money where their mouth is in terms of getting the message out. And they've also, over the past 3 years, put in $165 million into the facilities, hired hundreds of workers, including almost 350 in Illinois alone. And so they've beefed up their research and development center. So they really are not trying to strip it and flip it. They're really trying to build this company up into a behemoth. And the other thing that they're looking at is in this category, the non-chocolate candy category, there are some 40 players in the U.S. that sell between $25 million and $250 million annually. And so there's a lot of mid-size acquisition targets that they're looking at. They want to bring them all together under the Ferrara banner. That's their other strategy.
Well, good for them and good luck. Not bad for a bakery that started, in 1908?
1908, yeah.
Chicago name. Well, wish him luck. Frank Senna, thanks very much for coming by today.
Thanks, Steve.
Frank, you can read more about the stories he's discussing at ChicagoBusiness.com. That's at Crane Chicago Business. You're listening to the Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. Let's 1222, you're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. Have you had lunch yet? The guys from Kitchflix will be along a little bit later. It's a, there are a lot of these companies now that will deliver food for you that you then prepare a meal. And Kitchflix is one of them. The difference is the types of food that they deliver. Did I say it wrong? Kitchflix, I'm sorry, not Flix. Kitchflix is a really cool new startup where you, they bring a movie over and you watch it in your kitchen. But Kitchflix are the people we're going to talk to a little bit later today. And it's a new organic sort of way to bring healthy, energy-building food to your home. Kitchflix, we'll say it many times before they're back. But right now I want to talk about sales and the sales bonus and why that might be a model that's going away. Susan Adams writes for Forbes.com. Susan, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Hi, how are you?
Rescue me, will you? I've been talking myself into circles here this afternoon. I'm not a salesman, and I like to joke with people. You can see a salesman coming a mile away. There sometimes is this certain personality type that lends itself to it, and maybe those are the people who lend themselves toward working for bonuses, because the idea of working for a bonus has always been kind of hard for me to understand too. And the story you write, focusing on a company out of Columbus, Air Force One, indicates that, there might be some changes brewing when it comes to bonuses. What can you tell me about that?
Well, this company was having a lot of problems with its sales incentive structure. Salespeople didn't get bonuses, but they got commissions. I think that's commonly how companies like this work. They're a heating, ventilation, and air conditioning services company. Sort of a funny name, Air Force One.
Yeah.
Anyway, they were squabbling among their sales staff. Say that I got a lead for a job and then I passed it on to you and you actually landed the job. How do we split that commission? Should it be 50-50? Should I get 75% because I brought it in? Should you get 75% because you landed it? What do you do in that situation?
Or you've got sellers who have a lot of leads, and rather than sharing them and giving them up and giving up maybe that commission, they're sitting on them, and that means fewer sales for the company.
Exactly. So there was that problem of sitting on leads and of how to split commissions and a lot of unhappiness among the sales staff. And one of the branch offices, it had reached a crisis point. And at the same time, the CEO, who was young and had taken over from his father, was thinking about innovative ways to changed and shake up the structure of the company. And he'd read this book called Drive, The Surprising Truth About What Motivates Us by an author named Daniel Pink,
sure,
who had written about that people are really more motivated by sort of in, internal impulses rather than an external carrot like a sales commission. So we thought about that, and then he also went to this seminar run by people who support the ideas of a management guru named W. Edwards Deming, who also didn't think that people performed better if they were given carrots like sales commissions.
So I love the idea of this young guy coming in. He goes to the boardroom and he says, look, I think maybe we got to get rid of commissions. And the old guys are looking at him. Maybe the old women, too, are saying, ah, that's not going to work. You can't do that. That's not the way the world operates. And then he did, right? He started with one office and then another.
Exactly,
Now, what have the results been?
He tried it in Cleveland, and they hit 122% of their sales goals.
Not bad.
And so then he did it in another office, and they did really well. And now he's just in January started to go commission free company wide.
And what is it? The idea takes the stress away, or it brings on this new idea of sharing, or what is it that the absence of a commission brings into the company culture?
I think teamwork and the idea of a common goal, and that you're motivated to do great work because it gives you the internal reward of pride and achievement, that it's not all motivated by money. Also, there's a lot of stress around having to
not know what's coming in, right? If you know what's coming in, it I would imagine makes your quality of life a lot better.
He was telling me that the single mothers who work for him in particular are relieved not to be working for commissions, because to know that you're going to earn X amount a month is much more reassuring than thinking, oh my God, if I don't hit my sales targets, I'm not going to be able to pay my bills.
I can only imagine. Susan Adams writes for Forbes.com. Real quick, Susan, then I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I actually write for the magazine and for Forbes.com.
Okay.
You can read this story in the April 19th issue, or you can read it online.
I'm
if you just search my name in Air Force One, you'll find this story.
I can't wait for the next half hour, because I've had almost no absolute details correct so far today.
Oh, no. I do write for Forbes.com. I just also for the magazine.
Well, so. I'm glad you talked to us today, but I love the idea, and I hope it's something that grows, because I think it'd probably be good for a lot of us. Thank you, Susan.
Great. Thank you.
You're listening to The Business Lunch on 720 WGN. I think we'll be back. Thank you very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. All right, real quick. What is the leading industry in Illinois? It took too long. It's obvious. It's agriculture. Everyone knows that. And Lee Strom is the director of Farm Illinois. He joins us in the studio this afternoon. Lee, welcome to the program.
Steve, it's a pleasure to be with you.
So I was talking a little bit about this Farm Illinois idea, and you just said off the air that we're not a think tank, we're a do tank. I see a lot of these programs and names and consortiums and people put together, and then I'm not sure exactly what comes from it. So tell me first what this is and then what you hope to do.
Well, about 2 years ago, a group of Illinois agricultural leaders and officials out of the city of Chicago and other metropolitan areas around the state, and civic leadership and leadership from philanthropy and foundations got together and decided to put together an effort to create a strategic roadmap for Illinois on our food and agriculture system. So FARM, in this case, is an acronym, stands for Food and Agriculture Roadmap. So it's not just agriculture. It deals with everything related to food. And when you think of the Chicago area alone, there are over 2,000 companies in the Chicago metropolitan area that deal with food, distribution, manufacturing, and so forth.
I grew up in Manteno, Illinois. My grandfather had a farm. My parents both were raised on the farm. I spent a lot of time on farms when I was a kid. And I moved to this big, strapping metropolitan area. And I am shocked by the ignorance that we have, the people who live in Cook County and maybe many of the callers too, to what lies just beyond and how important farming is to all of us who live in this city.
Yeah, you know, really, Steve, we have in Chicago here a world-class gateway city, a long and rich history that dates back into the early 1800s. But we also have a world-class agriculture sector that has existed for a long time. And when this state opened up two and a half years, we're going to celebrate our bicentennial, 200 years of history of statehood here in Illinois, a rich history in agriculture. But the two enterprises, the state agricultural sector and the city of Chicago and the residents of the 9 million-plus residents in the metropolitan area here, have never really sat together at the table and says, what do we need to do to ensure that we are the place that solves global food and agriculture issues? The global population is estimated to reach 9.7 billion by 2050. There will be much need for new sciences, new technologies, new ways of thinking. It will create jobs. It will create educational opportunities. If the globe turns to the Chicago area and the state of Illinois as a place where new ideas, new innovation, that's the goal.
And here we have people from the mayor's office, people from the Illinois Farm Bureau. I mean, we have, you know, not the Hatfields and the McCoys, but the two people from opposite sides of the church getting together a little bit here.
That's right. The original Farm Illinois group was assembled in the fall of 2014, so a little over a year and a half ago. That group was assigned the task of creating this roadmap. Early last summer, a 90-page strategic plan was released by Farm Illinois that outlined recommendations in all areas of transportation, as I said, workforce development, education, our natural resource management in our state, with the goal of if we can implement these strategies, then we can be the global leader. Next Thursday, we are going to be now launching the new permanent body of Farm Illinois, the group, the council that will be tasked with implementing these strategies of that roadmap.
And what will they do specifically? I mean, aside from the roadmap, they meet once a month. They get together in charge of what?
We're going to be launching over at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange at 20 South Wacker. This new body, which is chaired by Bob Easter, now President Emeritus of the University of Illinois, and Teresa Mintel, President of the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce, is a vice chairman, along with Rich Giebert, president of the Illinois Farm Bureau, as the other vice chairman. This group will oversee that implementation. We plan on meeting quarterly, this group, but with staff and other leaders involved, we will continually be looking at the areas that need improvement and how we best address them as a state. Obviously, everyone knows our state's in a bit of a stalemate right now.
Nicest thing that's been said about Illinois.
Well, we're in gridlock, however you want to term it, but this body is a think tank, but it's more importantly a do tank. In light of the fact that we have a lot of needs and it will be global challenges, we plan on moving forward to ensure that this area, this region, is a global center and focal point, and we all benefit from
it. One of the things, you know, people talk about so much now is because of the president's visit last week is Cuba. What kind of opportunities does Cuba offer Illinois agriculture?
Cuba is a prime example. Here is a country of 11 million residents, 90 miles from our border, and they import 80% of their food and agricultural products they consume. With a trade restriction that had been in place for a long time, even though some of those barriers were reduced in 2000, but still trade-related difficulties for the U.S. to enter that market. Now with a normalization, potential normalization of relations, it opens the door for us to help them develop their markets. We can certainly export products to them. That will be a huge export market. We think it could, the U.S. Portion of their imports could get to $1 billion. Illinois ought to have a big share of that because of our proximity, our capability to export. Our farmers and our food processors and manufacturers certainly stand to gain, but we also, if we can help them build their economy, because their biggest problem is they don't have much of an economy.
Right, so we want to help them so they can spend money buying our stuff.
Sure, we can help them with the expertise they need to improve their small but interesting agricultural sector. They're a big producer of organic agriculture products.
And why not Illinois? I mean, it was former Governor George Ryan who went down there probably, 15, 20 years ago?
Yep. Yeah, at the time of 2000 when some of those barriers were reduced. But their biggest issue is we still cannot extend credit to export products to them, and that's a key in any export market globally.
All right, so we've got 30 seconds left. What is it that you want people listening to this today to take away from when it comes to Farm Illinois?
Look for Farm Illinois to be the primary catalyst for our state's food and agriculture sector to ascend us well into the next decades, leading the globe, leading the world. The world will turn to us. It will benefit every citizen that lives in the state of Illinois.
Lee Strom, the director of Farm Illinois, thanks very much for coming by today.
Pleasure to be with you.
You're listening to The Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Thank you, Ori and Steve Bertrand here. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WG. And in the studio now is Ben Isler, one of the partners for Kitch Fix. Ben, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Steve. Excited to be here.
But, you know, I happened upon another business model for you. I don't know if you want to follow up on this. Earlier I was calling it Kitch Flix.
Oh.
So, you know, I don't know if you want to incorporate maybe DVDs or streaming movies with the food.
Now, do we have to give you equity, or how does that work?
I don't want the credit. I want the equity, yeah. So
okay.
you can take the credit.
All right. We'll think about it.
And so now I'm scared to death to say the name, Kitch Fix. Tell me about this company, because it started with a sort of a meal delivery system, right?
That's right. So about 3 years ago, we started as a meal delivery service. Actually, a personal chef business is what bore this. And it was cooking for families that had special dietary needs, specifically wanted to eat anti-inflammatory. So actually, Chef Josh, who's our founder and chef behind it all, was cooking for these families that had survived cancer and really wanted to eliminate anything like gluten, dairy, corn, soy, those things that inflame the system. And so he found that the healing power of food was really a powerful thing and wanted to expand that and offer it to the masses.
And so, 2013, the company is born.
That's right.
And it starts with meal delivery.
Starts with meal delivery.
Is meal delivery still central to the mission?
Right now it is. We've been able to expand our delivery area, so all over the city and suburbs of Chicago. And
it's a tough business.
It's a logistical undertaking as well.
And a lot of competition.
Kind of what separates us, what we feel like from some of our competition, is that we have a real focus on the ingredients. So local, organic, the meats that we use are going to be pasture-raised, grass-fed beef. And from what our customers tell us, just delicious food the board.
Do you not like it, or you could say if it's delicious?
No,
too.
I think it's. I eat it every single day, and I'm not sick of it yet.
And you look like you're pretty fit, Ben. I don't want to know. Well, there'll be no pictures of the two of us together. But are all the meals dairy free, gluten free, or is it just some of them? Or
all of our meals are free of gluten, dairy, corn, and soy. And some of them follow the paleo diet, so eliminating things like beans and such. But the main draw is just, you know, clean eating, healthy, and it's really convenient, too.
And it doesn't work for everyone, but for some people, they're really looking for that.
They're really looking for it. And myself, as a former athlete, someone that likes to still stay active, I don't have any of those allergies, but for someone like myself, I just know that I feel awesome whenever I eat this kind of food.
All right, so food delivery, the meal delivery, that's one area, but the business continues to expand.
That's right. So the meal delivery has almost been an incubator for us to come up with new ideas and new food products. So two of the exciting things that we have going on right now, we have a grain-free waffle product that just launched in Whole Foods, 33 stores across the Midwest. So you can see that on the shelves all across Chicago. And then we also have a grain-free paleo granola product that was originally just a snack for one of our customers. And there's been so much demand and such a success that it's now on the shelves at Whole Foods, Mariano's, and a number of other stores across
the city. It's under the name Kitch Fix. It's what I'm holding
now,
right?
Kitch Fix, that's right.
So this is grain-free granola.
That's right. No fillers. So most granola has just a bunch of oats and sugar, basically.
Right.
Ours is just nuts and seeds, and we slow roast it in organic coconut oil, and we sweeten it with pure maple syrup.
Catering as well.
Catering as well. So
okay, so you're a small company.
We're growing, though. It's not as small as some people might think.
Well, that's what I'm just wondering about. So, I mean, sometimes when a company that does one thing well tries to do a lot of things, they end up suffering. How do you, as one of the founders, guard against that?
So we have to pick and choose what we think is going to be a path to success. And the catering was just a really natural fit. Our food, we started off actually cooking for some professional sports teams in Chicago and continue to do that. And then some of the individual athletes from those teams do our individual meal service. And then now it's caught on with a number of trading firms, law firms, insurance firms across the city. And they love just, you know, the quality of lunch, the way that they feel in the afternoon after they eat our food.
It's an exciting time for food, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, we just had the Farm Illinois guys in here earlier in the half hour, and they're looking at big business farm, you know, and sustainability and all that on that scale. And here you are, much smaller, just as exciting when it comes to food.
Yeah, it's definitely a fun time for us.
Ben Isler, one of the founders of Kitch Fix. You can read more at kitchfix.com. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to the Business Lunch on 720 WGN.